the glory of God to the earth. Now, it's from the foundations and it's from the beginning. Now, what I want to talk about here is Planned Parenthood. I want to talk about true Planned Parenthood. I want to give you the ABCs of Planned Parenthood. Okay? I desire here to express true Planned Parenthood. In fact, the ABCs of Planned Parenthood. Father has planned for you since when? From the foundations of the world. Am I in Bible now? Father has planned for you from the beginning. We are no surprise to Father. He knew who we would be and when we would be chosen. Or that we would be chosen, however that you want to say it. He knew you're coming. We just didn't wake up and say, here I am. He knew from the foundations of the world that you were coming. Father God has chosen you from the beginning or from the foundations of the world. That's the A. B, Father God called us through the gospel. And C, Father God chose and called us so that we may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Father God has Planned Parenthood does. That's what the Father does for us. He plans for us, and He has not only a plan for our life, but He has a place that we're going to go to, and that place that we're going to go to is assuming the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy," look at this, "has caused us to be born again." Now, this is so opposite of modern day theology. He caused it to happen, just like my natural father caused a sperm to enter into my mother's womb and unite with an egg, just as he caused that. So are we born again, not of natural seed, but of the Word of God. We're called through the gospel as the Word of God, as it unites and it, with the Spirit of God, then it causes us to be born again. And that's what he's saying there. We didn't plan it. We didn't plan it in the natural. You didn't plan to be born in the natural. Adam and Eve didn't plan it. You didn't plan it. We didn't plan it in the spiritual. But Father did. And He's planned it from the foundations of the world and from the beginning. Reading that paragraph. No more did you decide the point of your being born again of the Spirit than you decided the point of your being born in the natural. Someone else decided in the natural, and your Heavenly Father decided in the spiritual. Just as your natural parents had time, 9 months, to prepare for your natural birth, your Heavenly Father has had time to prepare for your spiritual birth. How long has He known you were going to be born of the Spirit? Since before the foundations of the earth and since from the beginning. Did He know that? Now, am I in the Bible? Every born-again believer is on a divine appointment. Every born-again believer is on God's timetable. Each of us have been chosen a father to be alive today, to fulfill the Scriptures. You are not some insignificant life, unimportant to Father. You are chosen and have an appointed purpose. We've got to grasp that, folks. There is a reason He chose us. It's to be fruitful. It's to bring a redemptive force in the earth. It's to bring the glory of God. It's to produce fruit. It's to fulfill Scriptures. There are reasons that we're here. Romans 8:28-30. This is another one. I wish that we had time to turn in your Bible, but we only have about 10 minutes left. Romans 8:28-30. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God. Now, who does He cause all things to work together for good for? Those who love God. To those who are what? Called according to His purpose. When you love God and you know you're called according to His purpose, I want you to understand everything is working for your good. Now, it doesn't mean that all good things work for your good or all pleasant things work for your good. It means that all things work for your good. When you're called of God, He is working it. He's working it for our good. For those who He foreknew, and that's the word I'm after here, foreknew, He also did what? Predestinated to become conformed to the image of His Son. Why are we called? Why did He foreknow us? Why did He predestine us? To be conformed to an image. What's the image? Of His Son. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren, and whom He predestined, these He also, what? Called. And whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. There's your ABCs of Planned Parenthood. He foreknew you. He planted the seed in you. You're born again. And all of a sudden, you're going to move now into the justification and the glorification of God. That's the purpose of a Christian. We are called and chosen for His appointed purposes. Now, I want to get a little bit now in understanding how does He work everything together for good. How does He do this? It's by that first word, foreknew. Because He foreknew. Now, we've got to get out of our mentalities of 70, 80 years. We've got to get out of a time mentality, of a mortal time mentality. We've got to try to step into the time of God. We've got to try to get out of our thinking now and try to move into to the way God thinks about time. God knew from the foundation of the world and from the beginning of the world, He knew, therefore He could predestine, therefore He could justify, therefore He could glorify, therefore He could work all things together for good. Now stay with me. Please pay attention. If you don't, pay close attention, because I might not say it just right, and I don't have time to spend a whole lot of time on it, but we just need to grasp this a little bit. And I want to get deeper now, because I want to get into predestination. In Ephesians 1:5, there's your scriptures. And you need to look at these in your Bible. I want you to know that they're in your Bible. Ephesians 1:5 says, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. Now, is predestination a biblical term? I can then say that God does predestine. I can say that God foreknows, that God justifies, that God glorifies. That doesn't bother anybody. But when you move into this predestination thought, it gives people fits. It says there that He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. And Ephesians 1:11 says, also we have obtained an inheritance having been, past tense, having been predestined according to His purpose. We're predestined according to His purpose. God has a purpose for us. Therefore, because He foreknew, He saw the time that we needed to be here. He saw the time that we needed to come into the earth. He saw the time that we needed to flow and to function in our life form. He saw that time. Therefore, He could predestine us to be born again and to be chosen of God in that particular time and space. Now, I'm just going to read. God has a purpose. According to that purpose, or because of that purpose, we have been predestined. Meaning, He foreknew and chose us before the foundations of the earth. You did not wake up one day and decide to get saved. That was already decided a long, 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 long time ago. What we need to do is give God praise because He did it. Let me attempt to put in writing what I'm seeing in the Spirit. Now, again, we've got to move out of the 70, 80-year mortal time frame that we live in and get into God's time frame. Now, let's slow down just a little bit. Book of Revelation, verse 1 and 8. Says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Does the Bible say that? Revelation 21:6. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Revelation 21:13 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. What I'm asking you and trying to show you here is, has God seen it all? The Lord God has seen it all, what was, what is, and what is to come. Okay? The beginning and the end. He's seen the first and He's seen the last. Now, I don't understand that, but I know it's true. Okay? Because I know the Bible says it. God has seen it all. Therefore, when I understand that, when I get out of my 70-year frame mentality and enter into God's frame of mind and His time thinking, He's seen. Did God see the creation of Adam and Eve from the foundations of the world? And did He understand that? The creation of Adam and Eve in Genesis 1 and 1. Could He see them to the cross of Christ? He saw the cross of Christ way before the cross of Christ happened. In Isaiah, He even spoke about 700 years before it happened that a virgin would conceive. So He saw that. In Psalms 22, David wrote about the cross, how Jesus, His mouth would cleave together, how His bones would ache and come out of joint. He saw the cross. Isaiah wrote very explicitly about the cross, probably saw the cross better than the apostles saw the cross standing there at the foot of it. He saw how Jesus would hang there, how He would be beaten and smitten of men. Right? He saw that. He saw that 700 years before it literally happened. God saw Genesis 1 and 1. God saw Genesis 1 and 1. All the way to, if you're hearing what I've said, the cross of Christ to St. John 21. I've just included from Genesis all the way into the New Testament to the end of the Gospels to John. Did God see that? He wrote about it, didn't He? He saw all that. Now, In this time frame are all these characters that we've talked about. We've talked about Adam and Eve. We've talked about Noah. We've talked about Abraham. We've talked about Seth and Cain. We've talked about Sarah. We've talked about David. We've talked about all these people that God chose. The seed of Abraham, Israel, natural Israel, their seed. We talked about all these characters. All those people were in this time frame that we just talked about. God saw it. Therefore, he could foreknew it, and he could predestine it. Now, picking up now then at Acts 1 and 1, and going to Revelation 21 and 21, going all the way to the end, can God see in Revelation 19, Jesus Christ coming in the second advent on the white horse with the name written upon his leg, King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Can he see that? Can he see the coming of the New Jerusalem out of heaven as a bride adorned? Can he see the New Jerusalem coming down? Can he see that? Can God see that? The apostles were in that. We've talked about the apostles, how they were chosen. We've talked about Paul, how he was chosen. We've talked about Rufus, how he was chosen. Guess who else is in this time frame? Are you in there? Can he see us? Could he see us way back here in Genesis 1:1? Because he's outside of time. He's the beginning and he's the ending. He's the first and he's the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's seen it all. And because he's been able to see it all, he can plan it all. And he can choose you. And he can predestine you. And he's God. And all this happened before the foundations of the world. And he's had all this time to prepare for you and me. And he says, I want them to live right now. I want Deborah Sprayberry to live right here in this time, right now. I want Duran Rawls right now. I want Lance Young just a little bit after that. I want him to come in long left in here. I want us to understand the bigness of God. I want us to see him as he is. Not in our little minds, but the God of the universe, the God who's got it all under control, the God who knows the first from the last, beginning from the ending, the God who can predestine, the God who can foreknow, the God who can glorify and justify, and the God who's chosen you and me to be sons and joint heirs of Christ. That's the God we serve. That's the one I want you to meet. That's the one I really want you to know. That's the one I want you to experience. I want you to experience right now something you've never experienced in your life. I want you to experience the choosing of God. From way over here, before the foundations of the world, that word predestined and foundation, all it means is before the first horizon, before the very first horizon, God knew you. And he fixed it all up and he chose you. And that's the way it works. It's the way the Bible says it works. Before the foundations of the world, he chose us. How many is hearing this? God could see his purpose. And he says, I want him, I want her right there to fulfill my purpose, to fulfill my scriptures. That's when I want them. That's when they'll fulfill them. That's when they're to come into play. And all of it's working until that glorious church, that spot or wrinkle or any such thing. All of it's working until the devil is cast into the bottomless pit. All of it's working until the New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. All of it's working towards that second advent. And right now is our time. Right now is our time to fulfill the scriptures. Right now is our time to leave a righteous seed in the earth. Right now is our time. Is that good? That's the God that we serve. That's the one that's laying the foundation in our life tonight. That's the one that we're coming to meet. Now, I want to give some balance, and I want to guard against an extreme predestination. When you share these things, it can sound like you're going so extreme that everybody's either chosen to go to heaven or everybody's chosen to go to hell. And it sounds that you've gone to the extreme in it, and it would be very easy to be so hyper Calvinistic that would be the mentality that you would take. But I want to balance it before we quit. And look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 through 6. And always when I get into these conflicts and I'll either talk with somebody who either is hyper Calvinistic or the other extreme, Arminianism, and one either thinks that everybody's, if they stump your toe, you're going to hell. The other one thinks that you can do anything you want to and go to heaven. You know, it's just you're talking to people all the time that are in one extreme or the other, and you need to be able to know how to balance people. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, Paul says, this is important first of all then. I urge that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of how many men? All men. You got to realize, folks, we're to pray for all men. I don't care if you have decided and you know without doubt that person's going to bust hell wide open. You still got to pray for that person. I don't care if that person hates your guts. I don't care if that person runs all over this town talking about you and telling what a sorry pastor's wife you are, or what a sorry pastor I am, or what a crummy bus builder you are, or whatever that you do, how you make bad pizzas, whatever that you do, doesn't matter. You got to pray for them. First of all, pray for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, in order that we, now listen, this is for us, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all goodness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Now look, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now I'm balancing us, okay? I'm balancing us. Let me give you one more, and then I'll balance it. Look with me now in 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter and 3. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow about His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. What I want to balance here and say, you know, and you've seen the direction that I've tried to project it, is that you're chosen before the foundations of the world, that God knew. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 2, he also wrote Romans 8, where we read about choosing and predestination for those called of God. Paul wrote the verses on predestinations in Romans 8:29, Romans 8:30, Ephesians 1:5, Ephesians 1:11. And it is Paul who forcefully tells us we are chosen while others are not. Is Paul confused? Because here he's writing that God wants everybody saved. Is Peter confused? He wrote 1 Peter 2:9, where we are chosen, a chosen race. And in 1 Peter 1:3, where we are caused to be born again. Yet in 2 Peter 2, he clearly tells us false Christians who will be destroyed by the judgments of God. Is Peter confused? We just read where Peter wrote that he didn't wish that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So we could get confused, couldn't we? We could get confused. Because somebody's saying, well, God wants everybody saved. Another person comes in, they show you all these scriptures, and they said, God chose you from the foundations of the world. Well, what in the world are we supposed to believe? All right? So that could confuse you. That's where you got to have the balance. Jesus is such a balanced person. He always balances things. A person could get confused. God's predestined this one for salvation and that one for hell, chose Jacob, hated Esau. Hardened Pharaoh, predestined Pontius Pilate and Herod and Jews and Gentiles, yet here in 1 Timothy 2:1-6 and 2 Peter 3:9, we read that God does not desire that any should perish, but come to repentance, and that He wants all men to be saved and none perish. Is God confused? Okay? You see? See, that's why we get these different doctrines, because we don't see the balance in Him. No, God's not confused. He never has been. Peter's not confused. Paul's not confused. They just knew what they were talking about. You see, what they tell us to do is to pray. You see, what we've talked about tonight is how God chose, how God predestined, how God foreknew, how God justifies, how God glorifies. Do I foreknow? Do I predestine? Do I choose? Do I justify? Do I glorify? Do I? Who does? God does. You see, we're trying to deal with something that I've got no business dealing with. See, I don't choose anything. What I do is I pray. Are you with me now? For all men. You see? I believe what we've established, the Bible foundational fact that God does choose, God does predestine, and God does foreknow. And that is exactly what I see. God does it. He chooses, He predestines, and He foreknows. I do not have anything to do with that. And you know it's a good thing? How many knows it's a good thing that we don't get to send people to heaven or send people to hell? Don't you think so? Well, how do we make sense of all this? Simple. We do what the Bible says to do. We make entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings to God on behalf of all men and kings and all who are in authority. We are in every place to pray. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissensions. Now, I can do that. I can't predict. Before the foundations of the world. Now, that's heavy. And that's so far beyond our present theology. That's so far beyond our modern theology. We beg people to come to God. Folks, I want to tell you, that's not Bible. It's not Bible. Pastor Devil, why don't you have more altar calls? I can't choose them. You know, I want to give opportunities for people to come to Jesus. And you'll see my balance before this is over. Well, what about Cain and Seth? Now, you know about Cain and Abel. Seth was the next brother, the next son of Adam and Eve, and it was Seth. Out of which of those lineages did God decide to bring the Christ? Through Seth. That's important that you understand that. Because my principle is, did Cain try to be chosen by God? Did Cain bring his offering to God? Did God receive it? We can make all the offerings we want to, folks. We can cry all the tears. We can bring all the tithes. We can bring all the money. I want you to understand something. You can offer all you want to, but until God chooses you. Okay? How about Noah? Did God choose Noah or did Noah choose God? Okay, Genesis 6 and 8 says, "But Noah found favor." King James Bible says, "found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Now, there's a sweet, sweet truth here. It wasn't that God found grace in Noah's eyes. It wasn't that God found favor in Noah's eyes. It is true that Noah found favor in God's eyes. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? It's not that one day we decide, "God, I think I like you." That's not the way it works. The way it does work is that God finds favor for us, towards us. Grace. It's always done by His grace. By grace you are saved. And that's not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, the whole thing is the grace of God, is God's favor finding it upon us. And because of that grace that favor that Noah found, his whole family was saved. Mrs. Noah, Mrs. Shem, Mrs. Ham, Mrs. Japheth, and Ham, Shem, all those guys, they were saved. They were. And it's because one man found favor in God's eye. Right? I want you to understand the principle. God finds favor upon you, you can look for your house to be saved. Amen? That's the way God works. That's the way God works. When He finds favor upon you, He likes you. You're chosen of God. I want you to know He likes you. He likes you. And all you got to do is obey Him, and He'll bless you, and He'll bless you, and He'll bless you. He'll bless you and your family. What about Abraham? Did Abraham decide one day, "Well, I'm going to follow God today"? Or does the Bible say, "And God said to Abraham, get out"? You see, are you hearing me? You're hearing this, I know. You see, it's so clear when we open our hearts and our spirits to the Word of God, it just becomes so clear. We find out that it was God that chose Abraham. He says, "If you obey me, Abraham, I'll bless you. I'll bless those that bless you, and I'll curse those that curse you." He says, "I'll make you a blessing to all families and all the nations. Come with me now, Abraham." And I want you to see this. And in fact, I want you to turn to this one in your Bible in Genesis 18. Genesis 18. A lot of people have asked me, why in the world did God choose Abraham? Well, in the natural, I don't know. But I know what the Word of God says. I was in Kmart one day, and the manager of Kmart came up to me, and we were having communication, and he says, I was talking to my wife the other day, and went, "Why in the world did God choose Abraham?" And I told him about this scripture, and he says, "Really? Is that there?" And I said, "Yes, yeah, there." And I said, "You need to look at it." And I said, "You'll see why God chose Abraham, and you'll also see why God chose you." You see, we're the seed of Abraham, aren't we? And so there's something that we'll find here in Abraham's life that God wants us to do as well. He says in Genesis chapter 18, and this is the time when God came and visited with Abraham, and they set the tent and they had a meal, and then he left. God left with his angels and he went to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You know the story where Abraham talked God down, and if he could find 10 righteous in Sodom, that he wouldn't destroy it. This is where all that's at. And in verse 16 it says, "Then the men rose up from there and looked down toward Sodom." You always look down towards Sodom, don't you? "And Abraham was walking with them to send them off. And the Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed.'" And here it is in verse 19. For I have what? Chosen him. Who chose who? God chose Abraham. I have chosen him in order that. Now, there's always an order that. God chose you in order that. There's something that you're going to do. There's something for you to do. There was a specific time that Abraham was born, and it was in an order that. God chose Abraham in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteous and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. How many of you want God to bring upon you what he's spoken about you? How many of you really want the blessings of the covenant of God? All you got to do is obey God. All you got to do is do what God's purposed for you to do. Why? What are you here for? Why were you born? What's the purpose of your life? Abraham's is simple right here. The reason that he chose Abraham was to command his children. You need to command your children. You need to command your children, not only your children, but you need to impart enough into your children so that the children after those children, Abraham wouldn't only command his children, but he would command his children to come. Abraham is still commanding us today. Do you realize that? It's because of the covenant that he cut with God that we're where we're at. We're still blessed by faithful Abraham. And it's because of that God chose Abraham. And he was chosen of God. Now, I want to just get in Abraham just a little bit deeper. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here, but in Nehemiah 9 and 7, the Bible says this. Nehemiah writes, "Thou art the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name Abraham." Now, what the emphasis here in this verse is the change of the name from Abram to what? Abraham. Now, I'm not going to get into it. I've explained it pretty good here in your notes. But when you cut covenant, in a biblical covenant, is when a covenant was cut, the names were exchanged. God is Yah, Y-H. Psalm 68, verse 4, talks about Yah. Yahweh, okay? And Jehovah even has the Yah in it. And it's Yah, Y-A-H. Now, when Abraham cut covenant with God, Abram became Abraham, or Yah. Okay, it took on the Yah sound. And Sarai became Sarah. The names was exchanged. There was an exchanging of names. The covenant was cut. And no longer was God just called Jehovah, but now he's called the God of Abraham. And the name thing takes place here. Now, well, this is exactly what's happened in our covenant. Names means your character. What a name signifies in the Bible is what that person is. You know that. You know, I don't have to prove that to you. You know that when somebody had a name, like for example, Jacob. What did Jacob mean? Trickster, supplanter, deceiver. His name was changed to Israel, contender with God. His nature changed, you see. When you come into the kingdom of God, your nature is going to change. There was an exchange of names. And that's what happened with us in Jesus Christ. When we cut covenant, when we come into the covenant, he took our sins, he took our character, and what did he do with them? He nailed them to the cross, didn't he? And we then take on his nature. We then take on his character. We put on Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? We become a part of the body of Christ. There's an exchange. And all this is done simply because God chose Abraham and God chose you. Do you see that? I want us to understand that we enter into covenant first and foremost because God chose you to. Did Abraham have anything to do with the covenant? Did he get to negotiate with God the covenant? That's another question you'll be asked at the end. Did Abraham negotiate the covenant? No. What did he get to do? Accept it or reject it. Okay? You get to obey or disobey. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It wasn't optional that they were chosen. What is optional if you get to obey? That's what we get to decide, is if we'll obey. He chooses us. Now, I want to just emphasize that point. All that is because he's chosen. Abraham got to get in this covenant because God chose him. You and I got to get in this covenant simply because God chose us. Not because we're pretty. Not because we're worthy. And not because of any other. It's simply because God chose us to have a covenant with him. Number five there. How about Israel, the nation? Did God choose them? Or did they choose God? The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His own possession out of all the peoples who are in the face of the earth. And you can see some other scriptures that I've got there for you. How about the seed of Israel? In other words, their children. Were they chosen of God? Or did they choose God? The answer is always going to be, they chose God, okay? the answer will always be, God chose them, all right? The seed of natural Israel, because He loved your fathers, therefore He chose their descendants. I want you to understand, folks, when you get chosen into this thing, it has an eternal effect upon your children to come. An eternal effect. The world works in temporal elements. The world works on today. The world works on what's going to happen, and at the most it thinks in my 70 or 80 years. That's the most. That's the furthest that it thinks. But God functions in terms of generations and millennia. God functions in thousands and thousands of years. And what you do in your relationship with God has an eternal effect upon your children. Your covenant with God, you're being chosen of God. We have not yet grasped what this choosing of God really means. Because God chose me, my son and my daughter serve Him, my grandkids are going to serve Him. I don't know how far down the line that's going to work, simply because God made covenant with me. And He made covenant with you. And your kids are going to be blessed because you were chosen of God. Now, we ought to rejoice in that, right? We ought to be shouting and going haywire on Sundays because God chose us. And we think we're doing Him a big favor to get up out of bed and come to church. Not only did He choose Israel, the nation, He also chose their natural seed after that. Now, number seven, how about King David? Did David get to choose God, or did God choose David? God chose David. 1 Kings 8:16, I chose David to be over my people. In 1 Kings 11:34, for the sake of my servant David, whom I chose. And look at the rest of it. Who observed my commandments and my statutes. Amen? And then they rebel. And they rebel. The Bible still stands firm. I believe they'll still come back. I believe they come back. I've seen it. In fact, I know they do. We've seen it so many times. So many times. Sin's fun for a season. And I know. I really believe that you believe that. You're just kind of wanting to trying to bring that dialogue in and just bring out that point. I think that's the truth of the matter. If we serve God, if we're obedient to Him, I really believe with all of my heart that God's going to bless us and maintain that blessing. I really do. I really do. Okay. Psalms 65 and 4. You don't have to turn there. This will just kind of end the thing. It's written there on your notes. How blessed is the one whom thou dost choose and bring near to thee to dwell in thy courts. How blessed is the one whom thou dost choose and bring near to thee to dwell in thy courts. Steve, check that tape for me and make sure that it's functioning correctly. Now, I believe that we've established the fact, and I believe we've established it firmly, that in the Old Covenant, the choosing was done by God. Is this correct? Have we established that now? Does anybody not see that? Now, if you don't, we'll stop here and we'll take time. Is it going in the right direction and everything's working right? Okay. If the Bible tells us, and I don't have time to turn to these scriptures, we will when we have more time. But the Bible tells us that the Old Testament was given to us as examples so that we won't make mistakes. That's what it tells us. Now, if these examples hold true in the New Testament, then what we're going to find is that it's just as true then when we come into the New Testament, God's still doing the choosing. Now, so I believe we've opened our thinking, that we've had these examples, and that we've seen that in the mind, I'm going to read this paragraph here, that in the mind of David and Moses and Nehemiah and Isaiah and the other Old Testament writers and prophets, is firmly founded the fact that God chose the people. Yet in our modern theology and doctrine, we beg people to choose Jesus. We sing "Just As I Am" over and over and over. We frighten people with hell and with the rapture, and only come short of physical harm trying to convince people to choose God. It's a poor foundation. Now that's all I'm wanting to say here. I'm not making slight of anybody's theology. I'm not doing that. I'm just letting us know that that's a poor foundation. Simply because if an individual thinks that they woke up one day and chose God, and God's not there, the first time that the storms come and the winds blow, the first times that the rivers swell and come against that house, guess what it's going to do? It's going to fall. And they'll get so discouraged and so disgusted with this thing, they'll say, man, there ain't nothing to that Jesus stuff. Simply because they've been told a false doctrine, a doctrine of a devil, a deceitful lie, by men whose conscience are really seared. They know better than that. Anybody that studies the Bible knows better than that. But they want to put notches on their belt. They want to put notches on their gun. They want to claim somebody for Jesus. And they're more wanting to do that than they are in truth to tell somebody the truth. And so therefore, the winds come, the storms blow, and the river rises, and the next thing you know, the house is falling. And that's what I write here. It's a poor foundation, for if someone thinks he or she chooses God, and God is not truly there, when the floods arise and the river bursts against the house, immediately it will collapse. And the Bible says, great is the ruin thereof. A lot of people have went the way of Cain. What that means is they haven't found a place of repentance. Simply because, somebody told them one time they were saved and they really weren't. Somebody told them one time, just pray to Jesus and everything's going to be all right. And it really wasn't. You see, it's a doctrine of the devil. It's a false doctrine. It's a doctrine that's in the earth today. And it's a deceitful lie. It's seared the consciences of people. Now, that's what I'm trying to do here, is square up the foundation and get us to see the truth of what the Bible really says. Now, if he or she chooses and receives salvation to be saved, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I do not foreknow, predestine, choose, justify, glorify. I pray. How many hears that? Therefore, if I go to the hospital and there's this person on the deathbed and I know they're going to bust hell wide open, I'm going to do the best I can to pray for that person. I pray for all men always. Make petitions, entreaties. I entreat God. God save them. They might be chosen. May never be chosen. That's not for me to decide. What I'm supposed to do is what? Pray. Why was Pharaoh born? I had a lot on this. I've done Psalms, and we've done a Psalm, and we got into this pretty deep. And we've done the circumcision of some and the hardening of others. Pharaoh was hardened. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He says it about 10 times. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. Paul says that he raised Pharaoh up to show his power, to show his authority. But again, that seems so unfair of God unless you can understand his foreknowledge. And he saw in here that Pharaoh lived. And in this time, Pharaoh was going to be cruel and mean, and he just used Pharaoh to bring forth his covenant. He's just gone. Why did he love Jacob and hate Esau? I would have probably done the other way around. I think Jacob might have been a little effeminate.
Yeah.
He's a mama's boy, you know. But you know, Esau was a hunter. I'm a hunter. I would have probably done it the other way. But God's God, and that's why He foreknew. He knew. He can see the first and the last. He sees the heart, and that's the good thing. Well, that sounds good. That sounds good, but I don't.
Yours sounds good too.
Well, that sounds good, but I don't see that in the scriptures. Well, you know.
Well.
You see, I don't see where everybody was born chosen. You see. I see where many were born not chosen. You know,
and so.
Let me read this last paragraph and we're done. The foreknowledge of God. The foreknowledge of God. Sure. He uses us for each other. I do not choose to send people to hell or heaven. That is not for me to know. What I do know is this. From the foundations of the world, from the beginning, God chose me to fulfill the scriptures, to produce fruit that remains, to minister to people, to be chosen, to be a chosen man in the Lord. I was called to the gospel to gain the glory of God, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I never doubt my salvation because I had absolutely nothing to do with choosing. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
I don't doubt my salvation because I didn't have anything to do with getting it. All I know is that I serve a God and that I'm faithful and that I've done when I see something in the Bible, I'll do that. You know, I've had a lot of chances to be offended. I've had a lot of chances to withdraw from Him. I've had a lot of opportunities, and I've hung in there.
I know by faith that my faith functions, and I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And it's just settled in my heart that He chose me. So I never doubt my salvation because I had absolutely nothing to do with the choosing. God chose me, and God chose you, and in that we should greatly rejoice. Amen? Let's go over these questions really, really quickly. I've already run over 15 minutes, and I apologize. But it was just because we had to do the foundation thing initially. Okay? We'll do these questions tonight. Give me one of them. Okay? And you'll see how simple they are, and then next time I want a plan of time for at least about 10 minutes at the end of the session and just let you take time and look these things up and look at them. Number one, can your senses be trained to discern good and evil? Answer? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Somebody raise your hand when you got the answer. I don't want the same person every time. Just come on, get opened up here now, okay? This should be settled in you now. Your senses can be trained. The scripture is Hebrews 5, verse 14. Now, how are your senses trained? Who remembers? See?
Practice.
Practice in the Word. Practice meaning experience. You train your senses by experience. You train yourself. You dig your foundation by experience. Don't let this just be knowledge tonight. Don't go run home and tell people, oh, I'm chosen of God. Experience the choosing of God. Stop worrying about your salvation and just starting obeying Him. That's all we need to do. We need to stop worrying about losing our salvation and just simply know that we're supposed to obey Him and fulfill what we're purposed to do in the earth. Second one. At what depth does the wise man lay his foundation? Where?
Deep.
Is that good? That's the good truth. You got to know that we need to get deep. If I just preach to you initial salvation, that's milk all the time. Will you ever get a good foundation if that's all I ever preach to you is get saved or repent? Get saved or repent. See, I need to get you in some deep things of God. I need to get in some deep things of God. Okay? So the answer is deep. Number three, what is the result of only hearing the word of the Lord and not practicing it? Give me a hand. Deborah? Destruction. That's it. That's the answer. Destruction. If you just hear the word of God when the storms come, when the floods are released upon your house, it will fall. If you're not practicing the word of God, if you're not digging deep, if you're not getting it in your life. Number four, how can you tell if a doctrine or teaching is out of square with the truth of the word? See? Okay? That's it. It will line up with the cornerstone. It will always line up with something Jesus said. Okay? And let me give you this. How many scriptures did we look at tonight about choosing? How many? Anybody got an idea? 100? You know, we looked at a lot. That's what I'm trying to get us to see. Don't take one scripture. Hook it up with other scriptures. Okay? Hook it up. Make it say what God is saying. Don't make it say what you want it to say. Make it say what the Spirit is wanting to say. Take 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 scriptures at least before you ever form a firm doctrine or a firm belief. Okay? Number five, did Adam and Eve choose to be created? Anybody? No? What significance does this fact hold concerning you? Anybody want to answer? You didn't choose to be born in the natural. You didn't choose to be born in the spiritual. Okay? Number six, when one is saved, who finds grace in whose eyes? We find grace in God's eye. It's not that God suddenly looks good to us. It's that God looks upon us and has chosen us. What significance does that point hold concerning you? We just answered it. Number seven, why did God choose Abraham? Anybody? Okay. Judy. Command his children. And just his children? Children after him. Okay. Now, why does God choose anyone in order of that? There's a reason. He said, I have chosen Abraham in order of that. In other words, there is a reason that God chose you. There is a reason. There's a purpose. There's something specific that you're to do. You will reach somebody that nobody else could reach. You will do something that nobody else can do. You will birth somebody that nobody else could birth. There's nobody just like you. Of all the multitudes of people, there is no individual like you. And there's something that you can do that nobody else can. There's an in order of that in your life. Why God allowed Abraham to did God allow Abraham to negotiate the covenant? Give me a hand. Did God allow Abraham to negotiate the covenant? See? No. Nope. And he's not going to allow us. Okay? God's covenant is not a smorgasbord. We don't get to go in there and pick what we want and leave what we don't want. We take it or we reject it. We obey him or we disobey him. We either serve the gods of our fathers or we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We serve the God of our covenant. According to John 15 and 16, why are we chosen? Give me a hand. Lily? Part. See? Part. Look it up. John 15 and 16. Duran, you sure have gotten me some good water tonight. I tell you, it's been good. Good water. So what? Him abiding in us. That's another part of it. To bear fruit. Okay? That's you're here to bear fruit. You're here to produce something out of your life that somebody else can eat of. That somebody else can partake of. That somebody else can enjoy. That somebody else can come closer. You're a written epistle, written and read of all men. You're to bring forth the glory of God. I can say it in a thousand different ways, but the principle is that your life is to be productive. Your life is to be productive. Is it possible to continually follow the Lord if you decide to do so on your own? Can you continually follow the Lord on your own without being chosen of Him and sent by the Father? Can't. Okay? You can't do it. Now, why? Why? That's it. You cannot come unto the Lord unless the Father draws you. Unless He plants you. Unless, we need to look at that one just real quickly. Look at John 6 again. I think it's an emphatic passage. John 6 and verse 65. And he was saying, "For this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father." You can't continually follow the Lord on your own power. You will be offended. People will hurt you too badly. There'll be something that will be said that will turn you away. You can't continually follow. The only way you can continuously follow the Lord is by His choosing. Is by His choosing and by the Father granting it. What are the ABCs of God's planned parenthood? Anybody? What? Born to us? One? Okay. Called us? That's good enough. That's good enough. You understand what it's about. He foreknew you. He called you by His gospel. And He's going to change you into the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's planned parenthood. He knew you. He's planned for you. And He even has your life purposed out. Number 12, when did God choose you? From the beginning? What's another one? That's one of them. There's another one. From the foundations of the world. Right. How does God foreknow? Now, I'll answer that one for you. Just the verses that we read from Revelation, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. God's outside of time. That's your answer. God's outside of time. That's the way He foreknows. He's seen it all. He's seen it all. He's first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's the one that is, the one that was, and the one that is to come. He's the same yesterday, help me, today, and forever. See, he's just God. He's God. That's how He foreknows. Do I predestine and choose people for hell or heaven, or do I pray for all men everywhere to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? That's what you do. We don't get to predestine. We need to understand it. Okay, we need to understand that we're chosen. We need to understand those things. But as far as us getting to choose people, we can't. I can twist your arm. I can put you in a headlock. I can beat you in the head. I can kick you. I can do anything I can, but I can't get you to God unless God's chosen you. So That's the way it works. But you know what I can do? I can pray for you. Paul doesn't say get him in a headlock, does he? He doesn't say beat them on the head. He doesn't say kick them in the shins. He doesn't say scare them with the rapture. He doesn't say scare them with hell. He says pray for them. Pray for all men, always. Have you enjoyed it? Have we began our foundation? Okay. I think you've enjoyed it. If you really enjoyed it, now tell me if you've really enjoyed this. Has it been good? Okay. All right. That's what we're here to do. We're here to be helpful and to begin the foundation, something that we can build upon. I want you to experience the choosing of God tonight. I want you to leave out of here knowing that God chose you. He loves you. You're so precious to Him. You're a vessel. There's a purpose for your life. You're to pray for people. You're to find out what God has for you to do. And you are a blessing. You're a blessing. You're a blessing to me. You're a blessing to this church. You're a blessing to Father. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to try to grasp the choosing of God. He's Father, isn't He? He's Father. He loves you. He loves you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for tonight. We thank You, Lord, for the liberty of the Spirit. Lord, we thank You for the time that we've been able to communicate one with another. We thank You, Father, the openness and just the dialogue that we've been able to have throughout this time, the understanding, Lord, the clarity of the Scriptures. Lord, I just thank You for Your Word, how so clear it is and how obvious that it is, Father, that You've chose us from the foundations of the world and from the beginning, Lord. You've loved us. You've loved us and You've called us unto Yourself. You've called us unto Yourself, Father God, so that You can change us into the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him. Say it. Before the foundations of the world. Tell me. Say it. Just say it with me. I was chosen before the foundations of the world. One more time. Let's all say it. I was chosen before the foundations of the world. Now that's so far beyond our mentality that we have a hard time even comprehending that. I'm going to spend just a little time here. It's just a duplicate of that page. I just copied it wrong. Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14 says, because God has chosen you from the beginning. When did He choose you? I'm on the page that begins with Ephesians 1, 4. Uh-oh. That's why all you looking funny at me. Will you get me another one? That's good. You got it? Okay. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 13 and 14 says, because God has chosen you from the beginning. When did He choose you? Chose you from the beginning. For what? Okay. Now this is done to the sanctification work of the Spirit and faith in the truth. You're saved by the sanctifying work of the Spirit and faith. And we're going to talk about the Spirit and we're going to talk about faith in later times. And it was for this He what? Called you. Now what did He call you through? Are you seeing these things? This is how this works. Romans chapter 10 says that how lovely are the feet of those that bring good news. Okay, out of preachers. He says, how are we going to know unless there's a preacher? The reason there has to be a preacher sit is so that the gospel can go forth, and from that gospel you're called. Okay? You're chosen by God from the foundations of the world. You're chosen by God at the beginning, but it's through the gospel, it's through the going forth of the gospel that you hear that call. Do you see that? Okay? You're called through the gospel that you may what? Gain the glory of what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I want you to know you're not just any longer, once you've come into this thing, you're no longer just an old sinner. You're no longer just an you're no longer an old dog. I want you to know it's time you start putting on the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're come into this thing to be a glorious thing. He's going to have a glorious church. Now, I know the Bible says He shares His glory with no man, but you're not just a man. You are a part of the man. You're a part of the Christ. You're a part of the holy man. You're a part of the holy body of Christ. You're a part of His glory. Arise and shine, Isaiah said in 16 verse 1. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. And it's time we understand that we've got the glory of God, and that's part of the calling, and that's why we're chosen, is to bring the glory of God to the earth. Now, it's from the foundations and it's from the beginning. Now, what I want to talk about here is Planned Parenthood. I want to talk about true Planned Parenthood. I want to give you the ABCs of Planned Parenthood. Okay? I desire here to express true Planned Parenthood. In fact, the ABCs of Planned Parenthood.